Good evening. This is the Voice of America in Washington. Welcome to another edition of Reporters Roundtable. I'm Douglas Mpuga. And this evening we'll talk about FIFA President Sepp Blatter's resignation and what that means for African long-serving leaders. And with me here in studio is my colleague, Patrick Dare. Patrick, welcome back to the show.
Well, thank you very much, Douglas.
You're welcome. And joining us from South Africa is an regular panelist and friend of the show, Suleiman Mgula. He's an independent political analyst. He joins us from Durban. Good evening, Suleiman.
Good evening, Douglas and the listeners.
How are you doing?
Fine, very fine. Thank you for inviting me.
You're welcome. Gentlemen, as I said, our topic tonight is we're going to look at FIFA's president's resignation and what lessons may be drawn from that resignation by African leaders. This week, Sepp Blatter, who has led the World Soccer Governing Body for 17 years and who was regarded as one of the most powerful people in global sports, resigned his position. He made his announcement in Zurich as law enforcement officials in the U.S. confirmed he was the focus of a federal corruption investigation. Now, let's start starting from there, Suleiman. South Africa, your country there, hosted the 2010 FIFA World Cup. And there have been whispers and rumors that maybe there are bribes exchanged in that endeavor to host that tournament. Your Minister for Sports has vehemently denied that, and other government officials. How are the people reacting to Sepp Blatter's resignation over there?
Douglas, it is an eye-opener. Of course, we have had our problems with the corruption in the country. But as you are well aware, it has found us in the middle of a corruption debate, because we are around the we have been discussing the reports about the building of the renovations which were carried out, or the security upgrades which were carried out in the present place, and there has been a source of controversy. So this case of Blatter has come in the midst of the discussion, of the debate, of the reports from the public protector, by the government, each one answering one another. So we are in the middle of that one. So you can imagine even this one of Blatter coming in and involving South Africa. So the public is so excited. The public is so... is so curious to know what is going on. They want to get every bit of information. It has been a headline on all the news media for quite ever since it broke up to now. It is still a headline. So they are upbeat about it. Even the president himself has chipped in today when he was addressing the World Economic Forum in Cape Town. He touched on the issues of corruption and was very clear that as far as South Africa is concerned, it gives credit to the South African people for being so transparent, the South African institutions, including that one of the public protector, and he has made it very clear that as far as South Africa is concerned, the issues of corruption are uncompromising, not only from the people, but even from the government point of view. So as far as corruption is concerned in South Africa, it is because of our democratic system, it is not a sacred cow. Everybody can get involved in it. So we are yet to see what will happen with the Blatter case.
Patrick, football, as we know on the continent, they call soccer here, is huge on the continent. But there have been these whispers of a lot of corruption, no accountability by FIFA. What's your reaction? How the continent is... they take soccer very seriously.
Yeah, if there's one thing that this investigation and arrest of FIFA officials brings as a silver lining to is that a lot of times when we talk about corruption in individual countries, it's isolated. Mm-hmm. People don't look at it from a very wide perspective. Now, soccer affects to the last person, the last kid. Mm-hmm. And so when there's something about soccer, it becomes a mass kind of knowledge base. Mm-hmm. That, wow, at the very highest level, people can be prosecuted. And so I think it gives pause. And just, you know, recently, in Kenya, for example, there's always been talk about, you know, the officials are in it for the money. I was just watching a video of the Kenyan national team practicing in a waterlogged, no grass field. And this is a national team, which is supposed to be funded through FIFA and you know.
And the National Federation and the national government.
Exactly. So this, I think, has brought the corruption and the fact that however high in the ladder that you are, you and you're corrupt, the law should get to you.
I see.
Which we don't get very much in Africa.
I see. Suleiman, to what extent do you think the period Sepp Blatter has been in power at the helm of FIFA, which is 17 years, to what extent do you think that was a factor in the growing corruption and in the growing anxiety by the people who follow the game?
You know, it has been very confusing. And thank God it has happened because it has removed the facade which is always associated with some people, because some people had tended now to take Blatter as a success story, ignoring the fact that it is not good for someone to overstay because of the superficial development which they were seeing, the superficial contribution which was making to the game. People forgot that, sincerely speaking, after 10 years, that is the sell-off time for any administrators. If I can use the words of Selete Kama, the president of Botswana, when he was interviewed about this issue, he was very categorical. He said, it is not necessary for a leader to overstay, because when you overstay, you make so many mistakes. By the time you collapse, the good things which you have done are overridden, are overshadowed by some of the good things, by the bad things which you have committed. So the many years which you have spent, much as you would have done some good things, now the biggest scandals which have come are overshadowing all what he has done. And that is a classic example of what happens even in other normal leadership.
He mentions there that the issue of if you overstay your usefulness, you, in marketing terms, you are beyond your sell by date. Now let's look at African leadership in relation to this. Before, of course, Gaddafi was had the record at 40 some years.
Right.
Hosni Mubarak was in the 30s. But currently, today as we stand, Jose Eduardo dos Santos of Angola has been power for 35 years. Robert Mugabe at 34. We have Paul Biya at 32. Uganda's Museveni, in your neighboring Uganda, there is now 28. He's going to 30. Omar Bashir just won an election recently, where by I think 90 something percent.
Right.
And he's now in his 25th year. We can go on and on. These are the top 10. I think I forgot the lead. The leader is actually Teodoro Obiang Nguema Mbasogo of Equatorial Guinea. He ties in the first place with Dos Santos. Sincerely, is there anything you can do in any field, apart from managing your own private staff, that you can do for 20, 30 years and still have anything useful to add?
You know, I think people, we can say that these people are just dictators. I mean, point blank, really.
Mm-hmm. Some people had referred to Blatter as a dictator.
Exactly. Even in countries in Africa that have these elections every year, Bashir winning by 90%. Mm-hmm. Come on. You know, Museveni always winning by a large number. You know, I'll borrow. We were having a conversation with one of our colleagues here, and he was quoting somebody talking about the law of diminishing returns.
Yes,
these people stay on for a long time because one, they think I don't know, for some reason they think they're probably the God's given right to stay there.
Yeah.
And you see the effects of it. I mean, the countries become totally mismanaged.
Mm-hmm.
They're not answerable to anybody.
Mm.
Then they surround themselves with cronies who will do things and just go haywire. And that's being seen with Blatter. I mean, he was there for a very long time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the people around him, you know, supported him, whatever the case, but they knew what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So,
Suleiman, so what, you jump in there. This 35 years in power or at the top of any public organization, any usefulness left?
Let me give you an example. An example across the continent. Let's start from Southern Africa, close to me. Dos Santos. The daughter is the richest woman on the continent.
Yes.
But the people are among the poorest. Come to Zimbabwe. Come his birthday. He throws a $1 million party.
Mm-hmm.
Let's climb to East Africa. Museveni. He's among the richest people in the world. When a daughter is to deliver, he charters a plane to take her to Europe. Go up to Cameroon, in the north now, we are going to the west. Cameroon, he takes a month. Actually, the records reveal that Bia stays more time abroad on holidays than in the country. When he goes abroad, he hires a full hotel for almost a month. All those ones which they are using is public money. A man like Museveni, when he came to power in 1986, I'm sure his assets were less than $500. Today he counts himself as among the richest men in the world. Actually, he shuns poor people. Unlike Mandela, who said that to pull out people from poverty is not charity. For him, he sees it as charity.
Uh-huh.
So the leadership which you have is predatory. The leadership which you have is insensitive. The leadership which you have is corrupt. The leadership which you have is full of nepotism. They have not added much value. If there was any value, it has been overrun by the bad which they have done to get, as I have said.
Are you agree?
Yeah, totally. I mean, when you look everywhere, we had in Kenya Moi staying there for 24 years.
Yes.
You know, kids were born and all they knew was about Moi.
Mm.
And every election cycle, he won the election. It brings no value at all, and it actually fosters corruption, because the people around them, the gatekeepers, would want to keep the person there for their own gain also. And so, you know, you think about countries that all these big scandals, and when you look back, there are scandals that involve go right up to the top.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Overstaying of any leader in Africa really is really detrimental to the development of the continent.
Well, and
before we go, Douglas,
yes.
I wanted to say, just imagine the way my brother is saying about scandals. Can you imagine a country like Uganda, where a person who calls himself a president, he appoints his wife a cabinet minister? He appoints his son one of the commanders of the army. He appoints his brother-in-law minister of foreign affairs, another relative minister, another relative commander of the army. Can you imagine the insensitivity which goes with the overstaying in power? Someone comes even to the extent of even ignoring the 35 million people in the country, more educated than his wife, more educated and more qualified by his son or his brother-in-law. So that is the effect of overstaying in power. You lose even the sense to reason.
I see. Let's we'll take a short break and we'll come back to look at what actually causes, what drives these characters to want to hang on forever, seemingly forever. So don't go away, just hold on. We'll be back with a continued discussion of FIFA's Sepp Blatter's resignation and lessons for leaders in Africa.
Hello, this is Sunday Shomari. Join me every Monday for your lighthearted show, Let's Talk. That's right, Monday at 17:30 UTC for interviews, great music, and a whole lot of laughter. Right here at the VOA Africa. Keep it locked, VOA Africa, don't miss.
Welcome back. In case you're just tuning in, you're listening to Reporters Roundtable, and we're coming to you live from the Voice of America studios here in Washington. Our topic tonight is corruption and long-serving leaders, especially in Africa. Our panelists are my colleague Patrick Deya and Suleiman Mugula, the South African-based independent political analyst, and I'm your host, Douglas Impulga, here in Studio 9 in Washington. Before I went for that short break, we're seeing how the impact. But then we see what actually drives guys in positions of power to want to hang on until cows come back home.
I think they get there and then they get comfortable. Uh-huh. And then they surround themselves, just, what Mugabe was talking about, Museveni appointing all these people. All of that is to consolidate his power and to make sure that, he has ears everywhere and consolidate that dictatorship. I think once they stay for that long, they become, and they know that, if they leave, maybe the fear is that the next person that comes, they will not have the same privileges. Mm-hmm. And therefore, they just stay there and do nothing really for the country.
Yeah, Suleiman, what's your take on that? Because one other issue is the structure they put around themselves makes the whole organization or system or country to be in the same groupthink, same thinking, same impunity. So even if you knock off the head at some eventual point, things don't seem to change, or things actually even get worse, as we saw in Libya, as we saw in Egypt. So even in FIFA now, if President Blatter goes out without you removing the whole structure, because, like, for case of FIFA, it's composed of continental confederations, and they are acting, they act like the boss at the top, or vice versa. So taking off the head maybe not necessarily mean anything unless it's a complete overhaul.
For sure. Actually, one of the factors, number one, they are perpetuated by greed. Because when you analyze most of our leaders, there is no administrative innovation which they have added to the country, no political innovation which they have added to the country, no economic innovation which they have added to the country. I mean, you are talking of Equatorial Guinea. Much as the IMF and World Bank cheats us that it has got the highest GDP on the continent, but you find that Equatorial Guinea has got more than 70% of the people are poor. Mm-hmm. So you find that the people are very poor. So apart from greed, they impoverish the country. Once they have impoverished the country, the easiest thing to do is to govern the very poor people. Once people are poor, they are easy to govern, mm-hmm. because they are easy to buy off. They are perpetuated by a patronage system, the way you have seen in FIFA. In FIFA, almost every official is dirty. It is they have been moving around corruption. So Blatter was being sustained by the corruption system around his system. Mm-hmm. So are our leaders. It is corruption which is sustaining them. It is the patronage system which is sustaining them. In other words, they are buying themselves in power. Number two, they have got the killing instruments. They have got the security system. The way you have seen in Burundi, the way you have seen in Uganda, the way you have seen in Cameroon, they suppress opposition. They kill. They don't fear to kill. They imprison. They close out media houses, if they mean to say. They are so arrogant. You can look at the way Nkurunziza is so arrogant. He's not listening to anybody. That arrogance is the same arrogance in Uganda, which has been there for all those 28 years. Nobody can tell them anything. It is the same arrogance in Gambia, same arrogance in Cameroon, same arrogance in Rwanda, same arrogance in Sudan and Southern Sudan. So they have got the machinery to kill, the machinery to suppress. That one also perpetuates them in power. And so many reasons, as our brother has said there, and all these system which they build around themselves.
So you see, some people have argued that sort of a vicious circle. You do those things he's talking about, Suleiman is talking about. If you kill, you harass, you beat protesters, you do what. The more you commit those kinds of offenses against the people, then you fear to get out of power because you may get held accountable. Now, like in relation to FIFA, it took the U.S. federal government to come in and indict some of the people and arrest some for things to shake up a little bit. So is that fear of being held accountable maybe responsible for some of these saying, I'll stick here until come death, maybe?
That is, I think, part of it. Mm-hmm. But I think the biggest driver is just greed, really. Mm-hmm. And to a point, I think these are people who learned very well, especially those the first generation leaders who learned from the colonialists. One of the biggest thing about the colonialists was to make people have this feeling almost of the what they would call the Stockholm syndrome, where the people who are poor always hope that their leaders will do something for them, and therefore we'll always support them, whatever the case, and we'll not go against it for the fear of they will maybe just take it away because they know that they have that power of just taking it away. You find it in countries that even purport to be democratic. There are certain regions that are completely marginalized if they do not seem to be with the leadership class, of the day. And so the fear of retaliation, the fear of being totally ignored, the resources, you know, not shared, is something that really perpetuates this. And so when you saw things like the Arab Spring, I think that's part of the top just blowing up. Sometimes I hope that the top can blow up in some of these
other countries.
Yeah, because how long can you sustain this where a few people, and then when you look at the infrastructure that have been there, the structural things that put checks and balances, they control those. They control the courts. As my friend has said, they control the army and the forces. They put their brothers and sisters and whoever else that, you know, is their puppet. So, you know, the people are left helpless. So one would wonder, how would people still vote for Museveni, you know, after all he has done, 90-something percent? It's this being trapped in a situation where you can neither move ahead because you know you'll be squashed, and you stick with whoever the person that's there, and they know it. They create that environment.
And you see, would it help, for instance, if some of these leaders got to power when they were independently wealthy? Not some, because some of them get to power when they are needy, and they are racing against time to amass as much wealth as they can. Suleiman.
I think it is a double sword question, Douglas. I think it is the values which someone is born with which determine how someone behaves. Because we have seen education does not help. Some of these guys are well educated.
Yes.
I think it is the values. The value, a person like Mandela, when he came to power, he didn't have much. When he decided to leave power, he did not try to accumulate. He remained the same person as he was. The fact of the matter is some of these people are greedy. They have poor values. Some of them are primitive by nature. they were backward by nature. So some of the things they do, it is because of their upbringing, the value system which they were found with. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, I think being rich or poor does not help someone. It is only the values which you are brought up with.
I see. Okay, we're running out of time. Very briefly, Patrick. We're blaming the leaders, those people who stick in power for long. But how about those who are led? FIFA, it took the American government to shake them up. Most of these other countries, what will it take? Because what's the responsibility for those who are led? I mean, briefly.
I'm hoping that the steps that have been taken now, they will go all the way down to the individual regional bodies that mm-hmm. govern this. And even go down to country level, because the finances that are generated are, you know, distributed within the country levels.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I'm hoping that these arrests can go down to the country levels, really.
Okay, that might be difficult because unless the American government has to extend throughout the world because of this, it may be difficult.
It probably is.
Yes, but Suleiman, your take on this?
At the end of the day, when FIFA is shaken up, we realize that the whole system is quite rotten. Similarly, Douglas, in many of these countries where the leaders have stayed for so long, the countries are rotten. The day they open the lid, people wake up to know that Cameroon has been the facade of the country. Uganda, there is no country, there is no system. Everything is rotten. So the way you are saying, those who are red, the biggest problem which we have are those people who perpetuate the system, who sell their souls. They are not part of the eating group. They are not part of the syndicate of the president and his relatives and so on. But these other citizens who would have stood firm, but they decide to sell themselves and also become part of the system. I think those ones, when the things turn, they should be the one to be punished more than even the leaders who have been perpetuating themselves.
You agree with that?
And those examples are everywhere. I mean, you get these people who are in opposition, you know, in civil society movements or whatnot.
They keep switching from this side to the other side.
Exactly. And the moment they get nominated for whatever, you know, you wonder, is this the very same person that was talking about freedom and fairness and all that? They just completely forget because very quickly they have their hands in the cookie jar too.
So in other words, it's all about what they call eating.
Oh yeah, it's all about eating. You know, you see that in most of these countries, even the ones that claim to be democratic, people don't have principles. You know, they will join this party in this year, and next year they join the next party, and make coalitions. Just don't, you know, leaves you wondering how these two could even be sitting together and talking about being, in the same party.
Well, it took the USA federal government, FBI, and the right to shake up FIFA. People are wondering what it will take in those individual countries that we're talking about. It can't be FBI going there.
No,
it has to be the individual people. Don't you think so, Suleiman?
The youth have to take the law in their hands. The way it was done in Burkina Faso, the youth should not look at anybody because, as we have said, the generation of leaders whom we have are so greedy, they are so egocentric, they don't care about their future, because when you are a leader today, you should be working for the generation to come, the way it is done in America.
Okay.
So if we have not done it, then the youth have to go on the streets like in Burundi, in Burkina Faso, and fight for their
life. Right. So you have the last word. That's all the time we have for this edition of Reporters Roundtable. I would like to thank our panel, my colleague Patrick Deya and Suleiman Mgula, an independent political analyst based in South Africa. Gentlemen, thanks for being on the show.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Yes, our producer was Jackson Mvunganyi, and our engineer tonight was Pete Handley. We'll be back again next week with another edition of Reporters Roundtable. A reminder that in case you missed any part of this program, you can still access it by going to our main website at www.voanews.com. Click on Programs and scroll down to Reporters Roundtable. You can also drop us a line. Our email is reporters@voanews.com. Once again, thanks very much for tuning in. And until next week, I'm your host, Douglas Impoga, in Washington, wishing you all the best.